Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So I'm going to set up here really quickly. So I was kind of having a struggle with and through this struggling week, I was kind of trying to think of my next sermon topic. And, you know, we go through our everyday lives and we're kind of put in situations where sometimes we don't like the situation and sometimes we question why we're in that situation. And I came to the conclusion that we're put into different situations because God wants us to be lights in those situations. So my message to you today is being a light in darkness. Eric read to you Matthew 5, 14 through 16, and they read, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do men light a lamp and put it under the grain measure, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." And it's very easy when we live in such a dark place to sometimes forget that we are the light in this dark place. We forget that as God's people, we have been set aside. We have a great gift in that by accepting Jesus, we no longer walk in darkness, but we walk as light. It's by our light that others see in us the glory of God. See, Jesus calls us the lights of the world. He tells us to shine. You know, and like Joe said, one of my most favorite songs is "Shine, Jesus, Shine." And I told my wife that the day of my funeral, I want her to sing that song, so keep her accountable for me. And, you know, how else is a world to realize the love of God if it's not through us? If we don't shine that light, how? We are the fruits of Jesus' sacrifice. How are those in darkness going to discover the joy, the happiness, and the peace that can be found in Jesus if they don't see it in us? By becoming lights in a dark world, we become noticeable. Our love for others in the world full of hate, our peace in a hectic and confused world, our selflessness in a world stricken with selfish ambition, our joy and happiness in a world full of hurt and aggression. These things shine out as a bright light. And like the city set on a hill, it cannot be hidden. See, because light shines out in darkness, others look to us. Some with admiration and joy, they start to seek what we have. They start to crave the light that has been given to us by Christ. They want to imitate what we have in our lives, and they too might come to salvation. See, others will look on us, some with hate, some will envy us, and some will watch us in order to bring us down. It's our light that ensures that Jesus remains alive today. We are His body, His love, His people. If we do not shine, if people see us in the same darkness that they see in others, then we are failing in our responsibility as a follower of Christ. We're also failing to grow, to become more like the light of God. We as followers need to strive to change, to always have our eye on how Jesus would want us to live. We will on occasion fail and fall. It's given. But Jesus will always be there to pick us up and relight the light within us. But we must always be striving and willing to change to become more like that person we are destined to be. Let's go to 1 John. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. Okay, these verses read, "And this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." See, it's easy to be a light in church on Sabbath morning. There's no darkness to quench our flame. But God does not look to those who can be lights to be lights amongst lights. God looks to those who become lights in darkness. He looks for those who can take the light in the world that has lost its way. He looks for those who can become leaders for his lost sheep. God is looking for those who will step out and make a difference to those without hope, without revelation. He's looking for those that can reflect his grace, his mercy, and love in their own lives towards others. See, too often, as followers of Christ, we bring the darkness into light. We bring the world into the church. We bring into church our pride, our selfishness, our jealousy, when we should be bringing love and joy. We should take light out into darkness instead. We need to take the church out into the world. See, when we come to people with troubles, when we come to people with needs, when we come to people who are looking for answers, the answer should not be, "Oh, you should come to church." The answer should be, "The church is here. It stands before you. It is you." Followers of Christ are the church. It is not the building that we meet in. When someone comes to you with a problem, they are coming to the church. They're being attracted to the light that you are sharing. Stop hiding your blessings. Stop clinging on to them. You have been blessed by the one living God. Now start to bless others so that the light may shine. See, when we were created, God breathed life into Adam. He breathed into him the breath of life. It was only in man that he did this, as he breathed in us. He set us apart from other animals that he created. He created us to be in his image. He created us to be light in the world and be breath, that light into us, so we can go and share it with others. See, John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not even one thing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overtake it." And again in Proverbs we read, this is Proverbs 20, verse 27, says, "The spirit of man is the lamp of Jehovah, searching all the inward parts of the belly." See, that life that was breathed into us at creation made us a light. But that light that shines brightly in us, the light of God, in whose image we were created, has faded due to sin, evil, and darkness. It now shines so dimly, it can no longer be seen in many people. See, we need to be able to shine brightly again. We need to be able to step into darkness without fear and without doubt. God saw that this light within us was fading. He saw that darkness was overtaking the world that he had created. Through the sacrifice of his Son, Jesus Christ, he has relit the light within us. He has washed away the sins that were stopping us from shining. We have again been brought back into the fellowship with our Creator. through the sacrifice of His Son, we once more are able to illuminate our own hearts with the love, peace, and joy that comes from knowing God. But more than that, we are able to illuminate the hearts of others with that light that God gave us. See, if we go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 8, and it reads, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, sleeping ones, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light." You become a light as soon as you accept Christ. Jesus died, so we didn't have to. He died to give you eternal life, free from sin. Because He has made you free from sin, you are free from death. And as the Scripture says, as you rise up from this death caused by sin, you become light. And as light, we need to overcome the darkness. We've all come out of darkness. We have all been in darkness. We may have issues. They go all the way back to our childhood that have held us back. There may be issues in our own personalities, our anger, our frustrations, our addictions, that need to be approached in the light rather than with a spirit of darkness. They need to be taken care of. See, there's going to be times when the spirit of darkness will try and smother the light within us as it grows brighter. See, and some of us might say, "But God understands I have this addiction. He knows I can't bear it. But God understands I'm short-tempered. That's the way I am. But God understands I have no time to pray or study at home." Yes, God understands. He understands that you have put darkness before light. Amen. He understands that you have put evil before good. He understands that you have put death before life. God gave you the Holy Spirit to overcome the darkness. He made you lights so that darkness fades. You need to stand firm. Stand firm in the Spirit and overcome all the things of darkness. Colossians 1:12, "Giving thanks to the Father who has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. For He has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son." And we go on to Romans chapter 13, verse 12, and it reads, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk becomingly as in the day, not in drinking, not in cohabitation and lustful acts, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and do not take thought beforehand for the lust of the flesh." See, but the spirit of darkness will not just come from within. It will be carried by others into your life. It will try to pull you away from the source of your light. See, as you grow in Christ, becoming brighter lights, others will step in the way to try to stop that. They might call you, "Oh, you're too religious." They will mock you. They will say that you're trying to escape from the pressures of the world. They will call you weak. You will be persecuted at work, at home, amongst friends, and amongst family. There will be times when as others approach you, you will feel an unease spiritually. You will be uncomfortable. You know there's something not quite right, but you don't know what it is. There's a heaviness in the air. Ephesians 5:11 says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." It's easy to be dragged down by vain, empty, hurtful words. But as followers of Christ, we must be forever careful not to fall into the war of words. See, even within the church, there will be those who will deny you your light. There will be those who will question your anointing. They will fail to rejoice in your blessings and gifts. They will try to smother your light with jealousy and bitterness. Don't let their bitterness ruin the good fruit that you produce by being a light. See, nobody knows except the Father what darkness you have had to come out of to become the light that you are now. Nobody knows except the Father the pain and suffering that you have had to endure. Nobody knows how far you have had to come to receive the blessings and the anointing that you are receiving now. Don't let anyone take away the light that you were destined to become through God. Don't let anyone belittle the sacrifice that was made on the cross to set you free and bring you out of darkness. 1 Peter 2:9 reads, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for possession, so that you might speak of the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." The description of being lights can be found in Philippians 2, where in verse 13 it says, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, so that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of the crooked and perverse nation. Among these you shine as the lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, so that I may rejoice with you in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, nor labored in vain." See, don't let other people's thoughts and gossip and actions produce clouds of fear or anger that can hide your light. The world is dark enough. Be a light in the world. See, the real you does not manifest itself when you come here to church. It does not manifest itself when things are going well and you're full of joy. The real you manifests itself when you're at work, when you're at home. The real you manifests itself when you get cut off while you're driving. Do you bless or do you curse? The real you shows itself during times of stress and difficulty. During times of difficulty, does your light get smothered by the darkness? Or does this darkness fall away in front of you because your light shines so bright? So what are the signs that you are walking as light? What do people see when they look at you as a follower of Christ? Do they see someone who is walking in the teachings of Christ and living a biblical way? Or do they see someone who simply goes to church on a Sabbath morning? Is your life radically different from those around you? Have you changed your ways since becoming a follower? You can be sure that if the only difference in your life before you accepted Christ is that now you have a little bit less time on Sabbath, then you need to start examining closely what Jesus means to you. I look back on my own life as I've been growing these last 6 years. See, before I became a follower, if I saw someone before that time that I haven't seen in a while, and they recognize me, not recognize me physically, but recognize me spiritually, then I would be concerned. See, if people who knew me only 12 months ago could see no changes in the way my life has changed, it does no good until you start to live a different life. See, just as a surgeon studies for many years to gain the knowledge, that knowledge is useless, of no value, until he starts to put it into practice. And once that knowledge is put into practice, it can start being used. It can start saving lives. We need to be a surgeon. We need to put the things that we learn into practice in order to be able to help others come to Christ. I would like to think that the hours of study and prayer, seeking the will of God, has made a difference to my life, my attitudes, and the way others view me. So if we go back to the opening scriptures and look at Matthew 5:16, it says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see you and your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." See, our light shines through our actions and through our words. How we live our life must be a reflection of the light that comes from God through His Son. See, how bright our light shines is not determined by how much we love God or how much we love Jesus, but it is determined by the amount of love that we have for each other. See, one of the examples that Jesus set for us as He ministered was for others, particularly love for those who were despised in that society. See, Proverbs 6:23 reads, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." Here we see that the law is light. The commandment is the lamp through which the light of law shines. But what is this commandment that gives us this light? What was the commandment that Jesus gave to us? John 13:34 says, "I give you a new commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. You shall also love one another." John 13:35, "By this all shall know that you are my disciples if you have love toward one another." Later in John 15, verse 10, "If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have spoken these things to you so that my joy might remain in you and your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And then Paul later writes to the churches in Galatia. He says, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." See, by following this one commandment to love one another, we do the good works that Jesus refers to in Matthew 5:16. And those works then become a testimony to God. And through the works that we do, we lift up the name of God and glorify Him. So let your light shine through you, because we represent God. If you want people to know God, you have to be able to show God. You have to be able to show them that love and joy that He has given you. People come up to you and you're just another person in the crowd, how will they ever get to know God? How will they ever go and see this light that God has given you? Let your light shine. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. Amen.